to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast Room Stove Crew number one, numero uno, as they just reminded me. They are number one in many respects, as they say. And I'm going to have the crew introduce themselves, starting with their leader.
I'm Mariah Tejada, San Francisco, California.
Kevin Moore, Clarkston, Michigan.
Dave Slates, Clarkston, Michigan.
Diana Slates, Clarkston, Michigan.
Caroline Chaperdi, Delta, Ohio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. We have two veterans and three newbies. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Yes. And this is our second day here working in San Miguel Duenas. Tell me about your day today. What'd you do?
Installed 5 stoves.
Wow.
Completely. Completely.
No, is that an achievement for those who haven't been here?
Because we managed to work between the raindrops and get them sealed as well as put in the holes for the pipe. So.
Yeah, so yesterday we had one out of four that actually got installed. Was that yours?
Number one.
Like I said, number one in many respects. So because of the rain. Correct. This is the rainy season in Guatemala. Rains 5 months out of the year, almost every day, but it usually doesn't start until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And that has been true, I would say, 10 out of the 12 years. I mean, we just usually do not have rain this time of year. It's actually called a canicula, which is an Indian summer. It usually starts about this time. And we have not had to deal with rain during the day. I mean, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's good for us, bad for the farmers. You know, they want the rain. But so we are very nervous when it started raining yesterday and then again today. But you guys did all 5
of these. I don't know how it just ended up in between all the rain.
Right, we lucked out. We really did.
Yeah, because it was raining when we walked to our stove and then it stopped. So we were able to silicone them.
Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. That's great. So tell me about one of the homes. Tell me about one of the homes that was memorable for some reason today.
The last one was the memorable one for me.
Why is that?
Is because they were so thrilled to have the stove done because if you looked at their wall, they'd had a fire.
Oh, really? A fire?
Yeah, the bamboo
burned
walls.
The house.
Yeah. And the support system was burned.
Yeah.
I mean, not to the point they couldn't use it, but it was definitely burned.
Well, the other unique thing was there were 3 families that lived in there. So we put in 2 stoves, and there was actually...
No, that wasn't the last.
There wasn't
the last one. Oh, no, you're right, the last
the
one.
The last one is we should give us a whole
stack. I like the 3-family home. That's the one I remember, because there's actually 3 families, and they were all interested. We did 2 stoves in one home. But they had a regular... I don't know if it was a propane or what they ran the oven off of. And they actually had an oven. But they also, obviously, they share a kitchen together, for sure. And they had the rooms on the side. So I thought that was interesting.
So one of the things that we learned on Monday is one of the things that makes this program unique from other programs is that they have families that are living in extreme poverty, $1, $2 per day. But then they also have families who have progressed a little more, and they call those in process. And then they have families who are almost ready to leave the program. So they might have like a propane stove or what have you. They could still use another stove because the propane's really expensive. Mm-hmm. But, when we first saw some of these homes, we're like, well, there's not that much need with this program. But then it was explained to us that actually, these families have been in the program for about 6 or 7 years. They're ready to leave, which means they've actually progressed, which means there's been success with the program, that they're helping them. They're teaching them trades and education that they can be self-sustaining as a family. And so our early years, when we partnered with other organizations and we saw a home with a a gas stove like that, or propane, that'd be a phone call to the leaders, you know, like, oh, something shady's going on. You know, why is this? They don't have a need. But now we see that, and it's like, oh, that's a good thing, because that means this family is on their way out. Now, I want to go back to the house that you said was black on the inside. I want to ask Mariah, because she's got a lot of experience in this. Was there an actual fire there, or was that just from them cooking over the open fire?
From them cooking over the open fire. And that's like a huge marker of just the actual health problems down here, like with breathing, and just you can only imagine what their lungs look like if the walls look like that and they're covered from top to bottom in soot. And so that's really why we do put the stoves in, and that's one of the reasons, is because of the woman's health and just their ability to breathe. And these older women have really terrible respiratory problems because of having to cook over open fire, and so this reduces that by so much. It's like 90% of smoke in there.
So that open fire is what actually burnt all of the crosses.
Yeah, because if you looked next to where we put the stove in, they had an open stove, kind of.
She
sells tortillas, and so she's always cooking. Like, that is her livelihood. And so that's why it looked like there was a fire. I mean, it did look like there was a fire. Like, if you didn't know anything, I would totally think that that was a fire. You know, like, it was covered in black. It was just black.
Yeah, the first time I went in. Well, and it is, I think it almost smolders because the heat is so hot. And if it's a cane, I call it a cane wall, it's actually corn stalks.
Right.
It's the wall that are wired together.
Right.
They do. They get burned and they do disintegrate. Mm-hmm. And those walls need to be replaced about once a year.
Yeah. I understood the wall part, and that's when I first looked at it. I thought it was her open fire that did it. What I didn't understand was the branch that they had supporting was burnt all the way across, and that's what I couldn't figure out why.
From the smoke, it's so hot. Like, I'm sure sometime this week, because we're doing 5 a day, you'll have a chance to experience being next to a fire while a family's cooking, because that happens a lot. And it is so intense and really painful to be building a stove next to a fire, because it's just, it stings your eyes and the smoke in the room. And so, remember, like, that's how those end up like that.
The heat is rising directly up, too, right? So that's really hot. Probably that roof is even getting hotter.
But it is. It's hard to believe. You walk in a room like that, and it looks like, you know, like you see a restaurant fire, like pictures of a restaurant fire or something like that. Everything's black. And that's what it looks like. And that's what they live in. And these low ceilings, you know. And so heat rises and smoke rises. And so they're breathing all of that. It's just, the early years we had medical clinics, and we had not visited the homes. We weren't in the homes yet, and the doctors were like, we don't know what's going on. There's a lot of upper respiratory problems. And so they investigated, and they're like, yeah, they're breathing all these carcinogens from the smoke just cooking over the open fires. It was shocking to the doctors, because they'd never seen it. They couldn't figure out what was going on. So, yeah, it's a huge, huge problem. Tell me about some of the families that you've met, some of the people, some of the Guatemalans that you've met.
Today, our first house. This family, most of the families don't follow the instructions, or, like, they do kind of about, like, what they're supposed to prepare. And it's not necessarily even something they're supposed to prepare. They're just like, hey, you know, heads up, you'll need oil to clean at the end and a towel. But this lady, she had prepared all of it so clean and so just set up for us, and it, like, made me want to cry, even though it's not that big of a deal, but she was so proud. They had, like, got new lamina for the roof, and she had set out everything for us, so we knew exactly where it is, because typically you're, like, running around, like, where's this piece, and they have it hidden somewhere else, and, like, that's totally fine. But this lady had set it out, like, she was prepared for us, and she had, like, oil in a little container, and every time I asked her where something was, she's like, oh, it's right there in front of you. I was like, oh, I should have looked, like, it's sitting right here. And that just, that was so, I, like, wanted to make sure that the silicone was super clean. And that, because, you know, just her, it was just so precious. And she stood there, and she was so proud. And every time I had to ask her a question, she was just like, yes, like, what can I do? And she was just so grateful and so just so, I think she was so proud of that day that she like got her stove, and that just, I mean, that was just something today that stood out a lot and hasn't normally stood out. She was so sweet. So sweet.
But we didn't have family there because her children were either in school or the one was in preschool. And so we didn't get to see her family. She was the only one there in that house.
But the interesting thing, too, is that they subside. They have plants, they have animals, you can hear the chickens, and you know, that live right within the confines of the home in a lot of cases, and they're growing things, and they have it all sectioned off, so that's, you know, their home is kind of, with so much time at home, I assume that's what they're doing. They're making sure they're constantly growing food or making it up, that whole area is being used for subsistence or the best of their ability. So there's a lot of plants in there. There's a lot of birds too. Remember, they had the
two of them had birds of the five. Two of them had birds.
Right. So it's their pet. So
what'd you say?
I said they're very hard workers. That was, you know, my take from that. From all the homes that we visited today, there wasn't anybody, just unless it was an elderly person. They were all pretty much wanting to be involved with the process as much as possible, so that was really cool.
And the one house with the tortillas with the ladies, there's two other ladies at the entrance cooking tortillas when we arrived, and they were still making them, but then when we left they gave us a stack of tortillas.
Warm, hot.
Oh, my bag smells like tortillas.
Cool. what is better than a fresh hot?
We got back here and we ate them right away.
Yes, that's very cool.
You can't, okay, try to describe them, because most people listening to this have never had one of these tortillas. How are they different from a tortilla at home?
They're nothing like the ones at home.
They're not dry.
They're tender.
Yeah, tender.
They're tender. They're very easy to eat, and the flavor is wonderful from the corn, the fresh ground corn. It's hard to describe how different they are from what we eat in America.
Yeah.
Well, with yesterday, too, remember when we got the meats, and Dave was doing the same thing. We were making we were taking the meat and the rice and putting on there a little bit of lemon and rolling them up, and they were really good. And, you know, or we just, today, we just put some salt. Mariah said, yeah, let's just get some salt, and put a little bit of salt on them, and just a little bit of coffee is really good.
But we'll have to get the real experience. It was table salt. We'll have to get some, you know, real salt.
Sea salt. Sea salt.
Yeah, there's so many little cultural differences, isn't there? Like at the lunch, so we had a formal lunch that was prepared for us by the ladies of the village, and I had several people ask me, "What's that white stuff in the bowl?" I said, "No, that's salt."
Yeah.
You know, the tradition here is to take pinches of salt, and it's a coarse. I don't know if it's rock salt, or I don't know what the official term is, but it's a coarser salt
than
like table
salt.
A sea salt.
Right.
And you take a pinch of that, and you put it on your plate, and you season throughout your meal. And but we're not used to seeing this giant bowl of white sea salt.
No.
No spoon, just...
Centuries ago, there used to be just a little tiny dish like this that set at every place setting, and the salt was placed in that. And
really?
That's how this tradition went, when you would do it like that.
You pinch it on your own.
Yeah, exactly. But every individual had their own little bowl.
So nobody else's fingers was in your bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. What would, if you had one word to describe your experience so far?
Rewarding.
Rewarding. Well, you didn't think hard on that at all. What?
No, because every time you left... When you were done, they were so grateful. It showed so much. They couldn't thank you enough. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. Today and the one yesterday, I think. Mm-hmm. They just are so grateful. And so anxious for you to get there. Mm-hmm. That was the surprising part for me, that the women would be at your house you were working. The next woman would be there to make sure you got to her house.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna let you get away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were so anxious.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was so rewarding. I think sometimes that it's almost selfish of us, because we get so much blessing from giving, that it's almost, I almost feel like it's selfish to want them to be grateful. Or I don't want them to be grateful, but I feel like, you know, it's a selfish thing, because they are so grateful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole lot easier to love someone who's grateful for
yeah, exactly.
the affection.
Exactly.
And someone who
but I think there's a pride thing, too. I really see that they're so proud that they've gotten to this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes.
And it's just, they're just, you just see it's all over. It's
when they lead you to this spot where this is going, you can see the pride in their yes. face when they're leading you to yes. where the stove goes.
Mm.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's like so they worked hard to get to that point, and this is the next step.
This is
yes.
their
yes. journey.
Yes. It's Christmas exactly. morning for them, yeah. right?
It's a yeah. great yes. way to put that. I've never thought of it that way, but it is. This is. We've now moved into a new level of living.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was from day one, from yeah. our first one that we installed.
Exactly.
Right. And you're going to see that
boy.
All week. Every yeah. each one, you can see that same
yeah.
excitement.
Big smiles.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
You know, it's so hard to translate every word and every sentiment. But one of the words that was lost in the translation the other day when they were introducing, remember they were introducing the volunteer ladies who have been
at the first mm-hmm. one.
Yeah, yeah, the first day, and they were introducing them, and several of them used this word. And you said they really work really hard, and they're really proud. The word is luchando, which means we are here fighting. It's the literal translation is fighting. Like we're here fighting every day.
Yep. They are fighting mm-hmm. for existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can
yeah.
see that on their face.
And when you have to fight for something,
yeah.
you really appreciate
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's for so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
You appreciate such things that we, you know, obviously take for granted, but little things, mm-hmm. it's like, yes, because
yeah.
they had to fight for it.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're not going to let anybody take it away from them.
And like you say, they're proud. And like when they would give us something at the end, they were very proud to give us something. Well, the one was the
yeah.
water, and their faces were beaming when they were handing us that water. They were looking at you to say thank you. You know, it was really sweet.
Yeah, a huge bowl of bananas. Was it apples?
No,
or?
Apples
plantains and
plantains.
Yeah.
Right.
Apples.
There's a big bowl though.
Yeah, I gave.
Oh, I saw that bowl in the
yeah,
back room.
Yeah, what yeah. like you told us? Oh, you know, take it grateful, but it was almost like, you know, it was tempting to just say, "Please don't give it to us." But she was glowing, and so we just
yeah,
said, "Okay,
exactly.
right." So, but again, she was so excited. I'm sure it was made her feel great to give us something in return. So mm-hmm. it was a graceful thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So rewarding. How about other one-word descriptions of your experience so far?
Blessed.
Humble.
Mm-hmm. Blessed.
I'm blessed, yes.
How so?
I think it helps us keep seeing these things, being part of this process. You know, it keeps you humble. You know, it brings you back to reality. Where, you know, we are blessed compared to, you know, these people feel they're blessed, but we are over the top. Mm-hmm. And it makes you want to just keep things real. Keep them simple. Keep it real. And just be happy with the simple things, I think is.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the things that have made you feel, how would you describe to someone who's not been here that sense of, well, I'm over-blessed compared to this family that we've spent some time with in their home? What are some specific things that come to mind when you think, this is an example of why I'm over-blessed?
Well, I think that you compare our lifestyles to theirs. And they live with so much less than us. They still smile and they're still happy. And it's almost embarrassing, I think. I mean, I walk away from it like we have no, I mean, there's nothing to complain about. Nothing. That's what I take away from it. Shame on me.
Help me describe the life, you mentioned the lifestyle. Describe a bedroom, a kitchen.
The thing about
their clothing.
The thing about the homes that, I mean, I knew it was there, but when I see it, it really surprises me, is the dirt floors. I mean, without even thinking, when we were cleaning off the stove, I didn't want to put what we were cleaning off on the floor. And then I realized, this is a dirt floor, you know?
But it's still their home, though.
And it's their home, and I didn't want to offend them by brushing it off on their dirt floor.
Yeah.
You know, but I really wasn't sure what to do. But it's shocking to actually see it. It's one thing to hear it and know it's there or see pictures of it, but to really walk into it and see it and feel their surroundings is a whole different thing. Because when you feel it, you know there's a huge difference. I mean, you look at it in a picture and you go, in your mind, you go, yes, we have so much more than they have. But when you're actually standing there in their environment and you see the dirt floor and you see them growing corn in a one single row along a wall, you know, and the plants, and it just is overwhelming. What did you think?
Well, one of the things I was just thinking as we're thinking, talking about that is, if we have to have some work done at our house, then we have to call someone in to do that. They come in and we're off somewhere else, right? And they're working on it, and when they're done, they're done. But here, as we're working on this, they're all standing there watching. They're all so pleased that someone would come and help and install a stove from them, that they wanted to watch the whole process.
Has ownership in
huge difference.
This is not just fixing an appliance. I like what you said earlier, like this is stepping into a whole new level of station in life, and
and you can see on their face that they know this is the next step, and they've been preparing for it and they've been waiting for it
and working for it.
Other one word, summations, experiences?
Well, I already said humble, and I think, but just going back to your last question, no walls, you know, like you said, corn cob walls, you know, who would ever thought that? No, we would say there's no privacy, yet they live in community with each other, and, they, you know, they work together, and, you know, it's so different, and you don't run to your home and close your, like we do, we close the doors and we turn on our TV sets, right? And we're living in this isolation from other people, and this is a community. And even though, you know, every house you went into, you would hear chickens next door or something next door, and but then they all knew each other, and they're all very friendly, and, you know, you just felt that sense. And of course, you would see either older father or mother living with them too. So they take care of themselves and within their families and within each other. But we have this privacy, and we go home and close all the doors and we turn on our TV sets and we go in another world. We don't have the same community and the experience that they do of sharing that every day. So different. And the average American or maybe Western world would freak out if they had all of a sudden have that lack of privacy. Mm. Oh, by the way, where's their bathrooms at, guys? There's not bathrooms and showers in these places, right? Mm. And, you know, they're hauling in water. And Caroline was asking me where they do the laundry. And we saw some central tubs in some of the places. But that I told her that was probably top-end laundry mat there, right, the tubs. So, and you walk in with water, and where's the bathroom at? Well, not real sure. Around here somewhere, but I think there are more community too, right? So it's, and we would, the average Western world person would freak out. But I guess it's what you grow up with and you manage, right? And they're very comfortable with that.
Yeah, I don't know if they're comfortable with it, but they accept it.
Accepting, maybe.
You know, right. I would be curious to, that'd be a hard question to ask. You'd have to have a lot of trust. But
Yeah, for them to be honest.
I used to know from my wife's experience, and she didn't grow up in a village. She was a city girl, but grew up very poor. And it's hard living with basically no walls and the sound. It's a loud country. There's a lot of sound.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Buses and motorcycles and trucks and, you know, construction noises and radios and, you know, people playing music and festivals and parties and stuff. And yeah, it can be very, very, very challenging. It creates a lot of patience. But you're right, a sense of community. We're all in this together. Don't have a choice.
Yeah, I guess it's not optional. Anyway.
It's not optional.
So you make the best of it. I guess that's a better way to look at it.
Yeah. All right.
After 4 years, it's like coming up with a different thing. I don't know. It's always a different experience. Today was a hard one.
Yeah? Why is that?
I don't know. I think I just felt like I saw things differently than I generally do, and it just kind of broke me a little bit. Justin, I think they live so humbly. And it's insane to watch and to witness and to walk in and then to come back and have a hot shower. You know, and walk into Antigua and go shopping in the market, and it just, I had one of those days.
It's good that you can still have one of those days. Sometimes, you know, it just becomes the normal, you know, and you don't see it or feel it anymore.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, we're humbled and honored that you would come and share yourselves, your talents, your hearts, and your spirit of generosity and the spirit of Christ with our dear brothers and sisters in Christ here in Guatemala. I don't have, because I have my role, I don't have near as much time as I would like to spend with each of you and to be able to personally thank you. So I like to take this moment now, in case I don't see you between now and when you get on the plane. Thank you.
We want to thank you for starting the program so that we could do this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for accepting us.
It is our privilege. It is our privilege. So on behalf of Damaris, myself, the children, and San Miguel Dueñas, thank you for your service to our Lord and to his children, and thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast.
Amen.
Our pleasure.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga. May God bless you. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.